Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. We are at the Vets Hall in Morro Bay. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, otherwise known as Citizens Oversight Committee, or CFAC. I will ask for a moment of silence. And let's rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. I'll call this meeting to order, and I'll begin with any committee member announcements and or presentations. I have two announcements. Number one, at the City Council meeting held on last Tuesday, February 11th, I presented the Measure Q report based on the feedback of what we discussed at our last meeting and some changes we decided to make. And that's included in our agenda packet only so that we have reference and a record of that document of what was presented. And that was actually a suggestion by one of the public speakers during public comment at the council meeting. So thank you, Jen, for accommodating that. And I think that's a good place to put it. I will say the Measure Q report we presented was very well received by council, and there were plenty of compliments, and even members of the public got up and spoke and thanked the work that this committee has done, as well as Ms. Calway and her staff. So I just wanted to convey that back to everybody. Appreciate all your help with that. They were also very pleased with the work the subcommittee Lois and John had done on the CAFR review. So that's some feedback from that meeting. And along with that, I actually posted a comment about that Measure Q report onto the social media platform Nextdoor, along with an invite to come to the council meeting or our meetings if you're interested in learning more about Measure Q expenditures. So we're trying to do a little more outreach, community outreach, which we'll be talking about later this afternoon. So that's the only two announcements I have. Anything else from anybody here? All right, let's go with the consent calendar. Item A1, that's the approval of the minutes from our last month's meeting held January 21st. If does anybody have any changes or corrections of that we haven't already submitted? All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I so move.
Thank you, Lois. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Tina. Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries 5-0. That was Lois approving and Tina seconding. Thank you. All right, before I go on to the business items, I'll open it up for public comment. If there's anybody from the public that would like to comment on anything on the agenda or anything not on the agenda. Seeing none, close public comment. Thank you. All right, let's proceed with business items. The first thing on the agenda is business item B1, new member introduction. And I'd like to introduce Tina Wiener. She's our new member. She was appointed by the council, city council, in January. She's been attending our last meeting and some council meetings and meeting with me and maybe others to get up to speed. So she has a very good background in IT and project management, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Yep, thank you. It's a pleasure to serve and to be here with everybody today. I'm a new resident, about 2 years in Morro Bay, and as Barbara said, I recently retired from Hewlett-Packard, so my career was really, believe it or not, semiconductor and program project management in IT. And I took an interest in my community, and I volunteered to serve. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm enjoying the voluminous communications thus far.
Glad you're enjoying them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tina. We look forward to working with you. Okay, so that will bring us to item B2. That's the election of the chairperson and vice chairperson for this Citizens Advisory Board, the CFAC. As you all know, my term is up, and now most of the terms are always running January calendar, four-year terms as opposed to six-year terms. But anyways, my term as the chairperson is up. It's been my pleasure to serve and work with everybody, and I appreciate all your cooperation. But right now, I will open it up for nominations for a new chairperson.
I'd like to nominate John Martin.
Thank you, Bill. John Martin has been nominated as chairperson. Do we have a second to that nomination?
I'll second.
Thank you, Lois. Lois is seconding that. John is our current vice chairman, and he's been with the committee 5 years, maybe? Three? Okay. Well, you've come up to speed so fast and done so much, it seems like 5 years of work and three, but thank you. Are there any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, any discussion? John, you're willing to accept the nomination?
Yes.
Great. All right, then I will ask for a vote on that.
Just a little, maybe, discussion.
Oh,
before.
Okay, a little discussion, sure.
Mainly, I don't know if you could have served again, but Barbara's done an absolutely fantastic job as being chair. She's unbelievably prepared and involves everybody. So my nominating John was not necessarily to not nominate you again, but I think regardless, having somebody new, and John undoubtedly has shown the knowledge and the breadth of everything we're dealing with.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. And actually, I didn't certainly take it that way. I think I made it known last year. Normally, this is a two-year term, but I made it known since I had done it for so long last time I would do it for one term. I'm a firm believer in that. In any organization, leadership, you should be training your backup person and doing some other things to share some of the workload and the experience and the recognition as well. So that's why I was hoping that someone else qualified, and we have someone very well qualified that willing to do it. So, but thanks for those comments, Bart. Okay.
I would just also like to express my appreciation for your leadership, Barbara. You have done an outstanding job, and I'm sure the entire community has benefited.
Well, thank you.
We certainly have. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Good to know. Okay. So let's. I don't think we need a roll call vote on this. If it gets confusing, and we will. But other than that, all in favor of approving John Martin as the new chairperson, that would be effective at the next meeting, which right now is scheduled for April. Okay. So you'll have some time to get up to speed if you need it, and I'm available to assist. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion so carries. Congratulations. Motion carries 5-0. Congratulations to John. And then now, vice chairperson, because John is the vice chair, so obviously he won't do both.
I'd like to nominate Barbara for vice chair.
Is there a second to that nomination?
I'll second.
Are there any other nominations? Okay, that's payback. Fair enough. Thank you, John. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Done. Okay. So the motion carries 5-0. So essentially, Mr. Martin and myself are switching roles effective next meeting. Thank you. All right. That carries us to item B3, and that is the presentation on Join the Conversation Community Outreach. I don't see the city manager here. So I think that falls on Jennifer Calloway.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Congratulations to our new chair and vice chair.
Thank you.
This is City Manager Collins couldn't be here today. He had another meeting come up. We have some staff that's out, and he had to cover for that. So I'm going to present this to you today. If you recall from our January meeting, Mr. Collins went over the results of our community polling. As part of that discussion, we mentioned this was just kind of the kickoff, given the results that we received back from the sample of the community. We wanted to extend the outreach and see if that was a pretty representative sample going forward and what the priorities are. So this is a Join the Conversation presentation. We're going to be presenting this to all of our advisory board committees, as well as some of the local community organizations like the Rotary, those kind of organizations. We've included in here a draft email. We ask you to send, if you're willing to send that out to your network. We really want to get as much feedback as possible from as many community members as we can so we can understand what those priorities are and communicate that to the council, specifically as we are developing the next budget and looking at the deficits in the out years, how we'll prioritize those services. The email that's included is in PDF. I will email it to the committee members in a Word format, so you'll have it if you choose to distribute it going forward. You'll also notice if you received your last utility bill, there was a copy of the survey in that utility bill. We've received quite a few of those back, so we're happy with the response. But again, it doesn't hurt to reach out to as many people as possible and ask our volunteers to reach out to their groups. So with that, I'll start this presentation. Again, this is Join the Conversation. We want to hear from you. This is the presentation that we will be giving to, you know, the groups like the Rotary and the Lions Club and that type of thing as well. So you're seeing exactly what they'll see. So maintaining our public safety and quality of life services. You have a voice. We want to hear it. The city of Morro Bay continually strives to maintain the quality of life you expect and deserve. In a survey conducted last year, residents told us that they highly value our public safety and quality of life services. Now we want to expand the conversation and hear from you. Maintaining Morro Bay's charming character. Many of our residents live here because Morro Bay has a small harbor town feel. Residents and visitors value the open space, natural areas, parks, and outdoor recreational opportunities. We must protect Morro Bay's character by keeping our streets and waterfront safe and clean. And residents have told us they want to maintain our own local police and fire departments and preserve open space and local property values. So this is feedback that we received based on the polling that was done at the end of 2019. What are your neighbors saying? Recently, residents identified maintaining local public safety services and keeping beaches and public areas safe and clean as a top priority. Residents also identified local priorities that would like the city to continue to address, including maintaining 24/7 911 emergency response, maintaining 24/7 paramedic services, maintaining 24/7 police services, maintaining fire protection services, keeping beaches, public areas, and public restrooms safe and clean, protecting Morro Bay's financial stability, requesting public disclosure of all spending, and keeping the harbor and waterfront safe and clean. Our locally controlled public safety services, fire and police, City of Morro Bay Police and Fire Departments. Morro Bay has our own locally controlled police and fire departments, as opposed to perhaps contracting with the sheriffs or other entities. Last year's community survey showed 81% of respondents preferred maintaining our own local control over police and fire. The city strives to maintain these locally controlled public safety services. Morro Bay's fire department faces significant service reductions. Did you know that nearly 70% of calls to the Morro Bay Fire Department are related to emergency rescue and medical emergencies? We are actively seeking to prevent significant service reductions of our local Morro Bay Fire Department so our skilled local fire paramedics continue to respond to our local life-threatening emergencies. Tourist impacts. Of course, we encourage visitors to our small town to enjoy our beaches and harbors as much as we do. In the past, residents have asked that visitors do their part to pay their fair share for using our services, roads, and beaches. We agree. Visitors are welcome to our community and will continue to evaluate options to have visitors pay their fair share while visiting our community. So please join the conversation. Understanding the community's priorities is a critical part of our responsible city budget and future planning process. We are engaging residents and stakeholders to continue to hear your priorities, and the most important input is the process that comes from you. Join your neighbors and complete the survey today. Fill out the form and hand it back to us or complete it online. The link is active. That's also available on our city website. There's a button on the left-hand side banner that you can click on for this information as well as the survey. And stay informed and follow us. We'll be on social media, and we'll put links up for the survey on there as well. So that's the presentation. As it stands today, again, that stems from the feedback received from the community polling. It compiles all of the responses and priorities that we heard in that feedback into this presentation. That's what was summarized in the survey that you received in your utility bill. That's the same survey that's up there on SurveyMonkey. So I will, again, I'll email you a copy of the email that's attached, if you don't mind, to share that with your networks, just asking them to fill out the surveys and provide feedback. We have hard copies available at City Hall. If people prefer to come in and grab one of those, they're welcome to do that as well. If there's any questions?
Yes, I think it warrants certainly some discussion. Thank you for that, Jennifer. And there were some questions submitted in advance that we may want to have some questions. So, yes, so this survey is the same survey that went to the in the utility bills, correct?
In the last utility bill.
The last utility bill. So if you, whether you do it online or in the utility bill, it will be the same survey.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so first off, are there any questions of Jennifer based on what she presented? And then we'll go into some discussion. Did anybody want some clarification on anything other than what I just asked? Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, just a little. People in the community sometimes don't have the facts, right? But I was told that there's somebody thought that the contract with Lou Edwards for $60,000 was to help facilitate potentially getting the sales tax forwarded, and there's a $23,000 contract for a study. So probably some or all of that is not correct. What are those two contracts, and what are they for?
So the community polling was done by a research company. FM3 was the name of the company. That was about $23,000. From my recollection, I didn't look that one up today. They actually assembled the survey in conjunction with the Lou Edwards group and did the polling throughout the community. Based on the results of that survey and the high level of support that we received back from that in terms of maintaining our local public safety and the priorities that were identified, we need to continue on with outreach and see if that is a good representation of the whole community and expand those outreach efforts. The Lou Edwards group contract for $60,000 expires June 30th, at which point the council can choose to do a contract extension or not. Again, it's $60,000 up to $60,000 through June 30th. They are our lead consultants in helping us assemble all of these surveys that are going out, this communication, and compiling the responses back so we understand what those priorities are for the community.
Okay, so it's reasonable to expect that we're into it, $83,000, and whether one of these two companies go forward, if you decide to go forward with a sales tax to help us facilitate that, there would be something on top of the $83,000. You're just not sure what company you might pick. You may not pick these guys, but it sounds like there's an open issue that someone probably will be selected. So this overall effort will be, do you have some guesses of what that might be?
So right now there hasn't been a decision on if there will be a sales tax measure or not. This is gathering information for council to determine if they'd like to place any kind of measure on the ballot to help fund these.
Okay, but if the answer is if they decide to go forward, it's highly likely yet another contract would be on top of this.
If the council decides to proceed, there'd be election costs in addition to any further consulting costs because you have to pay to have that put on the ballot. The Lou Edwards group would certainly recommend that they stay on board through at least its initial placing on the ballot. in July. Once it's on the ballot, there's pretty limited outreach that the city can do from an FPCC perspective. So we can provide education, but we're not campaigning.
I did get a number that may or may not be comparable. So since you don't know what's included in that number, you can't even comment, I realize. The other item I had was you kind of get the answers you want. The Harbor Fund and the General Fund were addressed here, but not the fund that would fix the sewer pipes, which have been addressed in councils going back to 2007. So this is a comment. I realize it's what's there, but I really think that fixing the sewer pipes is something very near and dear to people in this city, and money has been collected, and I think it's an omission that shouldn't have been there to address whether or not the other people think that fixing the leaky pipes is important. I realize that wasn't your call and it's not there. It's just a comment that the reason I'm probably not going to support personally sending this questionnaire out is that that wasn't part of the queries that people were interested in following up on.
So I only thing I'd respond to maybe that with is to consider that there are blank spots in the survey that you can add comments like those in at the end. Certainly could encourage you to do that. And then the reason this was focused on General Fund and Harbor was that was the direction at the council when we decided to go out for the polling. The 218 process has funded the repairs for water and sewer that are in the One Water Plan. Those were included in the rate study on an extended schedule. So regardless, I realize the work hasn't been done, and that's really, I think that's the point you're making. But there is a funding source for those. Maintaining our police and fire, for example, is at risk given our budget shortfalls in the general fund. So that the Harbor Department is a financially challenged fund as well. So that's why the survey focused on those two areas.
Yeah, I'll leave it there. There's a much larger discussion on what you just touched on, but I'll leave that for another time.
Thanks, Bart. John, did you have any?
Yeah. So, Jennifer, last month Scott did the presentation on the phone surveys that had been done, and, of course, part of that phone survey was testing the appetite for a sales tax. But, of course, this does not even talk about the sales tax. So I have to assume that this is only part one of a multi-part outreach program.
So this is really an extension to see what the priorities of the community are. Since there has been no determination what the mechanism to fund these priorities would be, there is no mention of a sales tax at this point. When we do community polling and surveying, you're trying to get a sense of, you know, what is the community willing to pay for? Willing to pay for police and fire, but how? Would you support tested a 1 cent and I think a 3/4 cent sales tax or a 1/2 cent? Is that something that would be tolerable in the community? And the results seem to indicate yes, and then council can use that as a decision point. We're really trying to get a sense at this point of does the whole community kind of feel that same way, or what is the percentage of the population of the community in terms of priority of services?
Right, because the phone survey was a fairly small number.
Correct,
300 and some.
Yeah.
So if the council does decide to move forward with the sales tax measure, would it be targeted for November of this year?
Yes, the intention would be any measure would be November. If we go outside of that, depending on what it is, it would be likely a fiscal emergency declaration. I don't feel that the council is at a point to declare that at this time, so we'd likely be aiming for November.
Okay, thank you.
My question was to if we engage in this, is it going to use up the full 60K of that PO with Lou Edwards just to send this out and gather results, or is this just a phase of it?
This is one phase. So we're on contract with the Lou Edwards Group. It's basically a retainer. We pay a certain amount every month. Okay. We have a very prescribed schedule each month of what we're doing in terms of, you know, outreach to different organizations, our community boards. So this is just one component of that contract.
And you would manage that. This doesn't necessarily mean they have to, you know, use every penny on the PO.
Correct.
Lois? Questions? Tina?
Mine were purely small in nature. One was time frame for this emailed survey to be sent out and returned. And then the other was that reference to a utility bill. Are we speaking of electrical? I mean, I didn't see. And if you pay electronically, would you have seen the survey?
So time frame, there is no set deadline to return the survey. This will be extending through the spring. So there's quite a long period of time that people can choose to respond. You should have, if you receive your water and sewer bill in the mail, you should have received a copy of the survey in that. Some people choose to receive their bills electronically, and we try to send out the inserts electronically as well, so you probably would have gotten an email on that.
Okay,
as well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, that brings up...
let's go in discussion now. Go ahead, Bart.
Just to pick up on the electronic, we pay automatically. I would opt for a total electronic option. That's an option we've got. If I check the right box, then you don't have to send me any piece of paper at all.
Why don't we talk about
okay.
your billing after? Okay.
I'd like to do that.
Thanks. Okay, so John is correct. The city manager, in summary, went over this last month on basically, I think it was about 320, but based on the preliminary results, before they move forward, they want to do some more advanced community outreach to make sure this is really what the city wants to do, because there will be an expense associated with doing this. So do we want to discuss this? I'm sure we've all looked at the questions, and I know one of the preliminary questions was in designing a survey like this, and Jennifer, you answered it, there's some space at the bottom. But this looks like your choices to prioritize from 1 to 8 are everything that was in the preliminary survey, and it was all focused on public safety for the most part. But I think the real question eventually is going to have to be is how that weighs in with some other things, you know, and not just a general keep the harbor and public restrooms clean, but the street maintenance and other priorities we've seen over the years, maybe even additional sometimes employee help or what have you, or youth services, or some of the other things in the budget that are subsidized by city. So I think that's where the balance comes, and that's why I was asking, are we going to spend the whole $60K just to figure out this priority, which I think this priority already speaks for itself. Public safety is very high, and that's what the presentation Scott gave us last month. So I'll open up for some discussion. What are some folks' thoughts up here as to... so that we can give Jennifer some recommendations to take back counsel on. Anybody have any thoughts, or are you okay with this survey as is?
Just a comment. Actually, there's no real recommendations I need from the committee.
Okay.
We're just sharing this information now. Like I said,
okay.
We'll be going out through spring and delivering this out in the community and to all our advisory boards. So wanted you to hear it. If you have any thoughts or feedback, you're welcome to give it, but we're not. Requiring any recommendations or asking for any at this time.
So that's good. It's going out to all the advisory boards so, you know, we can tentacle out into the community and just ask people, hey, fill this out, please.
I have just one comment. I think I did see a request somewhere, maybe in Nextdoor. It's been some months ago on an electronic survey. And it didn't come from an official source. And I'm one of those people, unless it's really an official survey, I'm not going to click a link. So I'm happy to hear that that there's been something direct in we get our utility bills electronically as well. So I didn't see it. But I commend that effort because I'm sure there are many people like me who simply won't take a survey unless the legitimacy can be determined.
Good point. Excellent point. And I think I've seen some of those on Nextdoor, and they are not official. They're just somebody randomly doing it, but that's okay for them. Let's see. Any other thoughts on this?
I would just say I'm glad to see you starting early because these things take a long time to permeate the community, And so getting this early start is really a smart thing.
And I'm okay with the wording because it doesn't say CFAC is supporting this. It just says, mm-hmm. hey, by the way, I happen to be a member and yada, yada, yada. So what anybody wants to do, since we're not being asked, this is not being endorsed by CFAC, saying we happen to be on CFAC for anyone who wants to set out, is fine with me.
Good point, Bart. Excellent point. That's you're right. We're just getting the word out and that we're another avenue of communication. So, perfect. Any other comments, anybody? We'll move on. All right, so I think you have enough. We're, in general, as individuals, citizens, supportive of this effort. We will all reach out. And let me open this up for public comment before I close this item. Thank you for the reminder.
Thank you, Barry Brannon, Morro Bay. I'm sorry, I have a question. Is this about Measure Q, or because it appears that you're talking about discretionary funds. If it's Measure Q, then I understand, but if you're just, because there's so many things in the city's budget that are not discretionary that you really don't have the option to take like a Chinese menu. So would you explain that a little more clearly? Thank you.
This applies to all funding in the general fund. Doesn't apply necessarily, as I understand it, to the enterprise funds because those come from a different revenue source and are targeted for a different. But this and Measure Q, I would consider, even though it's tracked separately, it's like a general fund. It does have more discretionary income in it. But you could make the point, I think, that the general fund has a lot of discretionary income in it. It's just a matter of prioritization. So, Jen, am I on task with that, and can you clarify?
Yeah, I would just clarify that this isn't actually talking about a source of funding at this time. It's a survey on priorities. So, like I said, we'll be sharing this at all of our advisory boards, not just Measure Q, the Harbor, all of our Planning Commission, all of the PWABs will be receiving this presentation to extend the network out as much as possible and get priorities.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment? Thank you. None? Okay, closed public comment. So that's item B3. If anybody thinks of anything later and wants to communicate to Jennifer or anybody, that's welcome. Otherwise, Jen, you will send us the actual email so we can communicate it among our citizen contacts and help with the reach out. That's what this is. Just reach out. What are your priorities? All right, thank you. So moving right along to item, very good, the meat of the meeting. B4, brief finance update. And Jennifer, if you'd like to proceed with that, please go ahead.
Sure, I'll be very short. Okay. Did want to, the chairwoman already expressed this, but council really expressed their appreciation for this committee and our subcommittee's review of the CAFR and the entire Measure Q year-end report that your chairwoman did at the last council meeting in February. Also, a reminder, and we'll do a reminder again, but as the first one, our next meeting is in April, since the council did approve the meeting schedule with 7 meetings a year now. And then also as a reminder for absences from the meeting, under the new approved advisory board bylaws, the absence should be submitted in writing, so then it can then go forward to the City Council for approval. We did it a little bit backwards with the last meeting, but just as a reminder, and we'll make sure you all have copies of the advisory handbook update in case not, but if you are going to be absent and you know in advance, if you could submit that in writing so we can follow the process, that would be appreciated. And then our last one is, 5 of us were able to attend the finance conference at in Anaheim. It's held down in Anaheim this year at the end of January. Tracy, Cherie, and Carly all were attendees for the first time and had received scholarships to go. And I think they had a good experience and got some good information out of that. And then Valerie and I have both been before but went again and were able to get some good information on updates and new things happening across the state. So all in all, I think it was a good experience, and we had some great coverage at the front counter with staff coming in to support us while we were out, so we really appreciate that as well.
Thank you. You had mentioned that before. Just a question on the absences. Usually in the past they have been reporting to the chair, just so, because I do a quorum check to make sure we have enough folks here. So for an excused absence, obvious, it should come in writing, then it has to go to city council. If you don't need your absence to be excused or you don't care because you have three a year, it seems to me that's a little more administrative. Is that up to the discretion of the absent member?
This is for known absences in advance.
What, say again?
This is for known advance absences when you're asking for an excusal, like Mr. Bowes had asked during the last committee.
Oh, okay.
For an advance, if that could come in writing.
Okay.
For in the future, that's helpful.
Yeah, but if somebody wakes up sick in that,
correct,
you know,
that's not,
we don't want them here.
Right.
Okay. And again, there's a little bit of flexibility there, but if you want the advanced ones. Okay, John? Okay. You'll need to know that for your new duties.
Okay. I have a question. When will the handbook updates be available, do you think?
They're available now. I'll send them out with the email for the community outreach. The advisory handbook, is that what? It's available now. Dana has compiled everything together, so I will email that out to this group when I email the email for joining the conversation.
Because there were a lot of changes, so that's good. I have a redline copy. All right, great.
Quick clarifying question. Jen, that is the one dated January 28th, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's the one I got as a new member. Okay, thank you.
Good, up to date. That's great. All right, any questions on the finance update that Jennifer has provided? We'll probably be going into much more detail on the next agenda item, folks. So, okay, and I think this was just an update, receive, done, and file. Okay. That brings us to item B5. Item B5, review of the fiscal year 2019 to 2020, that's this current fiscal year, second quarter budget performance report, including the first two quarters of this current fiscal year for the period ending last December 31st. So, Jennifer, do you have any preliminary comments on that, or should we go right into some of our thoughts and questions?
I'll just briefly give, obviously, I think there's about 25 or so questions that came in, questions/comments. I think we provided answers to everything, as well as copies of the Visa credit card transactions that I missed during the review and didn't provide.
Yeah.
So those were attached. For the committee's reference, we will attach your comments and staff's response to the report that goes to council, so they'll become public record and in the public document, and that way council's aware of the questions that you asked as well. And also want to point out that the attachment one, that the quarterly update, it is in draft form. There may be a few additions or modifications made for the final version, as we're still working on a few things. So I just don't want you to be surprised if you see anything. There's nothing for Measure Q or pavement management that will change. There may be a few additions in the general fund that we're still working through. So I can go through each of your questions if you'd like, or if you would prefer to just ask questions and have discussion. It's up to you. I think at this point you're familiar with the format and the context. So maybe if we want to jump into questions, we can.
Thank you. For those of you following along electronically or on page, item B5.
Page 29.
29. I thought it was 18, but that's 2018. Page 29 of the agenda packet. So that's where staff did their staff report and very good summary, and then that goes on for several pages. I think maybe we can just go through, I'll summarize some of the questions that were asked, because that was what most of the members, and thank you, Jennifer, for compiling them all quickly with the answers, and then if you include that in the staff report that goes to council, then anybody that's not part of this conversation will at least see when we CFAC members reviewed this, what we asked in advance and how you answered it. So if you guys, and just interrupt me if you have any thoughts or questions or anything. One of the questions was on the 10-year forecast, because we talked about including that perhaps at our last meeting under future agenda items, and that did that didn't get on today's agenda. So Jennifer explained that. When it's ready, you will send that out to the CFAC, and if we have, even though we won't have a meeting next month on the schedule, we can still send questions, comments to you on that. So is everybody clear on that? Okay. We've already, thank you for answering the questions on Join the Conversation. I think we've had a good discussion on that, and we have a little better idea of what that is and the goal and how we can assist. Also, I had, yeah, same thing on the Visa card. It's unfortunate that the this has been an ongoing thing with CFAC over the years when there's credit card expenditures, which you have to have credit cards, especially for those employees that travel, et cetera. But the system doesn't allow very good explanations. So I think you guys are doing an excellent job of minimizing the use of those credit cards, which is always a question for any kind of auditors. And when you do, just throw in the receipts and... Actually, I used to see they used to buy a lot of stuff for the dog on the credit card, and I don't see that anymore. So, I mean, I understand why, but there are certain things you have to use a credit card for. So we get it. You guys okay with all that? You saw the receipts there. Let's see. All right, so there were some things, and this goes to a little bit with Measure Q. There were some things in the charges and maybe some questions that were asked. The changeable message, traffic message sign, you're going to, some of these, we don't even have to go over, you're going to reclassify those. They were nothing significant, but.
I think there's just one reclassification for $730. That was for the message boards that were used at Harborfest.
Festival.
Mm-hmm. And were mistakenly coded to the Measure Q fund. So we'll reclass those to the general fund.
Okay. And then there was a question about some of the things that were asked for, one being the speed survey. I saw several questions on that. So I think there was, I'll open that up for discussion here. There's some thought about whether some of that really should be discretionary Measure Q, especially being that the speed survey is a mandated requirement by the state. And I know over the years, the Measure Q committee has emphatically stated that mandates, whether they be federal or local or state, not be funded by Measure Q. They should be funded by whatever the taxing authority says they should be funded by, or we put pressure on them not to give us mandates with no corresponding funding. The thought was that Measure Q would end up being something to fund every mandate that comes along, and you'd have no discretionary use of those funds. So that's just a little history, but I think that's where these questions are coming from. So, and on the speed survey, I think, I know some of us felt that should be funded by the general fund out of the public works budget, not out of Measure Q. So any discussion there? Any?
Well, I mean, in the response, Jen told us that the in order to collect revenue from ticketing, radar ticketing, they had to have a current survey, so it seems that actually has an offset, a revenue offset in the general fund.
In the general fund, that's my point, yeah. Exactly, good point.
I agree with you, Barbara, that if it's something that's mandatory, I think it should be general fund expenditure and not Measure Q. And I guess based on the answers we got, it looks like since the speed surveys only last 10 years and the last one was done in 2009, that as of today,
we're late.
The police can't actually enforce radar speed limits. It sounds like.
Thanks for bringing that up. But no. So maybe we'll get right on that out of the general fund. Would that be?
Well, you can see in the mid-year that the general fund has just about $25,000 projected. We'll probably look for another funding source to recommend until we know how the general fund's going to close.
Okay. And seriously, not to make light of that, but I think that's the majority opinion up here. John has a very good point, and the other points are well taken. So that's one recommendation we would make.
I don't disagree with the committee's thoughts on state-mandated items. I would point out that there are numerous unfunded state mandates that we're required to do and we don't receive funding for. An example is the most recent Senate Bill 998, which is discontinuation of water service for non-payment. We just brought forward a policy to council at the end of January to comply with that. As a result of that mandate, we are required to print extra notices that all have to be funded in the utility funds. The state is not reimbursing for those at this time. I think there's about 10 languages they're supposed to be printed in. It's actually quite a significant bill, and that's a good example of an unfunded mandate that has to be funded somewhere that the state's not proposing to do that. So broad statements about unfunded mandates might have implications going forward.
That's a good point. Good point. Okay. Let's see. What else did we have here? So let's go back to the one on the Measure Q about the items, the out-of-county small tolls and all that. I believe your answer on someone asked about that, if those were included in the reimbursement from CAL FIRE and FEMA.
The reimbursements that we receive are for personnel. Mm-hmm. There's an admin component and a vehicle component. Because the fire department has not there's not been enough funding within the general fund to buy equipment and purchase equipment. Fire department's been good at getting donations and friends of the fire department supporting those purchases in the past. However, during the discussion at the last Measure Q meeting, there was some conversation about using fund balance and doing kind of just a split, give each fire employee $100,000. We recommended that we come back with appropriate purchases for you to consider, rather than just a flat distribution of the funds. So these seem to fit within that.
Okay. And we're okay with that reimbursement. And even in her answer, Jennifer said that if there's surplus in the general fund, otherwise it would come out of Measure Q. I think we're okay. Oh, yeah, I see nods. Okay, we're okay with that. Talk a little bit about, I think this is excellent, there were a couple questions about prepaying the unfunded liability, the pension liability, the CalPERS, and this committee has been supportive, just in general, as a comment on the general fund, of doing that because of the savings and the interest. I think we're all on board with that, correct, everybody? Actually, I think it's very good because I think one of your answers, here it is, $71,000 in savings. That seems like a significant savings over a $1.1 million debt, annually. To me, that seems like that's probably well over 7-8% when you amortize that. So the question would become, why would you fund something, monthly at 8% interest versus what we get on some of our other on our money that we have now.
It's a little bit more than that. It's $1,526,000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, the prepaying, the one, you're right, citywide, 1.5. Okay, good point. And I know one of the questions also focused on the fact that the narrative here had about the California state using some of their surplus in our question to pay down CalPERS unfunded liability, and how would that affect us? But it doesn't look like any of that's going to trickle down to the local state or local city coffers, so if it does, that would be nice, but we certainly can't count on that. So thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, I would just add on that note, I think the payments of the prepayment or early lump sum payment in July of the UAL, unfunded accrued liability, if you will, that's just one way. I think your city council is really working to try to make the money you have work the best for this community. Mm-hmm. That's an easy way to get some savings when PERS is charging us 7.25% on those UALs. So council did approve at the last meeting payment of Tier 2 and Tier 3 that we had discussed. And all of these things trickle down across all of the city funds because all of the funds, for the most part, have employees in them. Not all of them, but the majority do. So each fund realizes some savings from doing that. That includes the Harbor Fund, the Water Fund, the Sewer Fund, our Tourism, our Measure Q Fund, and the general fund. So Just wanted to point that out. And to your point about the state, with them making supplemental payments, with the state making supplemental payments, it becomes less of an issue for them, which is less likely to then trickle down to us as being something they want to help relieve for cities and counties. So don't anticipate much, if any, impact from their supplemental payments.
No assistance there. Thank you. That's good for people to understand. It's unfortunate, but if you read somewhere that the state's going to help pay down the unfunded liability, you think that's going to help your local city, and it just certainly doesn't sound like it. And as it becomes less of a priority for them, as Jennifer said, then the visibility from the state level decreases. So that's good. All right. Thank you for that. Several of the questions, I know several of mine and others, really were based more on looking at the budget where we had huge discrepancies, whether that be revenue or expenses. And yet a lot of that is the revenue is based on some tax source, and there's a lagging indicator, if you will, there. So a lot of that was really just timing issues. But we did, just to let people know, several of us did point out several of these items, and Jennifer responded very well. And then in some cases, I think some of us, I might have drilled down a little too low, like in some of the consolidated maintenance functions where one was way over, one was way under. And I do know that the city managers have some discretion when it's in the same budget pool, if you will. So, but thanks for those answers. What else do we have? The PMP, the pavement management schedule, everybody satisfied with the answer there? That was question number 8 in our questions to staff. How about on the harbor, that was a good long answer there, the DBW. Anybody have any questions on that? Or I was a little confused, but go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for that detailed answer, Jennifer. A couple questions. So the $1.9 million estimate, was that DBW's estimate, or was that the city's estimate?
So this answer was courtesy of our harbor director. So he told me I could phone a friend if I needed to ask him a question, but I think we can probably handle it. The 1.9, I believe, was DBW's number, and I'll text him to confirm that and let you know.
Okay, so it sounds like because of the fact that they were trying to cheap out on everything, that the actual project cost is going to be substantially higher than $1.9 million.
I believe so, and again, I'll confirm that as soon as he'll text me right back.
Okay, so the $250,000 grant that was supposed to carry this project through design and permitting, and then the DBW didn't actually do all that work. So the grant wasn't actually really received because they only did part of the work, right?
Correct. So it was reimbursement based. So whatever we actually expended out or we were required for reimbursement, is my understanding. The budget adjustment is just to remove it out of the budget. I think there was about $16,000 that we did get reimbursed, but that was in a different line item, maybe for another grant. So this $250,000 we're just removing from the budget revenue source.
So if it was going to cost $250,000 to do that work, I'm wondering how much work gets done for $60,000. Is it just barely enough to get the application for the grant submitted?
I will phone a friend again, and he did confirm that 1.9 is DBW's estimate.
Thank you. And then a couple of us had questions on the water discount and the revenue, both the revenue expenses way under. That's a more of a timing issue and a journal entry, as Jennifer explained. We'll take care of that. So there are apparently citizens eligible for that and taking advantage of it. Just looked like right now nobody was using it, and that's just more a journal entry.
The $60,000 for the harbor is enough work from a consultant engineer to assemble the items needed to get the application grant in, and then we'll have a better concept of what the scope of the project is and cost overall.
So do you believe people are taking advantage of this? It's just the timing of journal entries?
Oh, for the discount program? Yes. We have well over 300 people in the discount program. One of the things that we noticed when we started expanding the discount program and looking at it closer, our billing software and our finance system, they have some quirks to it, and you can't put in just 10% off the final bill. Our system doesn't allow us to do that. So a couple of years ago, what was happening was it was 10% off a line item in the bill. So we've actually increased the amount that the participants are receiving as a discount, but we had to create a new utility rate schedule to accommodate that. That's 90% of the normal rate schedule. So we back into what that discount is by doing a math calculation and then do a journal entry to transfer the funds. It can't hit there automatically because of how we had to set it up.
Okay, so that's why, and that question's answered in Jennifer, so thanks. That's what several of us, I think, were concerned about. Okay, let's see. Anybody have any questions on the VOF, the vehicle, the property tax VOF in lieu of related to property tax? Jennifer gave a very complete answer for that. I just kind of wanted to make sure that when we get reimbursement for that, it's not lowering the otherwise 1% that cities are entitled to under prop. It'd be just like not actually getting additional fees. But right now we get the additional VOF, so that's good to know from the state. Yes, several. Thank you on the general liability and the workman's comp. Again, timing issues. That's pretty much what all those were. Why some look very overfunded and some underfunded. So you'll monitor that closely. Same thing with the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Fund. We had some lagging expenses there, but that explanation is satisfactory. So that will, looks like those get mailed out today. Okay, what else? Anybody have anything else before we go through the Measure Q and the budget adjustments? Make sure we're all on board with that.
Yeah, I've got just two quick ones. I should have brought it up before. Just it's arithmetic on the $1.1 million payoff. I'm not sure if it's 1.1 or 1.5, but the 1.1, I tried to look at last year's budget, this year's, and it's $1.5 million more, 1.1 of which is explained, I presume, by the payment, which is why I asked the question, well, did we do that last year? Because if we had some amount last year, you can't incrementally add 1.1. So if you know where I'm going, I'm trying to, the table of the expenditures for salaries and benefits is going up by, like, again, like 1.5 million. Page 45 of 194, or page 12. Fiscal year total actual expenditures, 10.4 to 11.9. And 1.1 of that was explained by this payment. But if we had a payment last year, then you can't use the full 1.1 as an increment more.
So the salaries and benefits, when you look at 18-19, or we can go 17-18 at 10-4, and then 18-19 at 11-9, those are actual expenditures. That would include the mutual aid reimbursements during that year. It includes our unfunded accrued liability payments, our normal costs. There's another pension payment that we pay with our salaries, and that's the normal cost, our employee benefits for health, all of that. And then our 1920 budget number of $11.2 million is our budgeted number, so it does not include anything for mutual aid. That's the $203,000. It didn't include COLA increases or any of the payments that were made for the negotiations because your end hadn't been closed out yet. If you look at page 46, the UAL is called out separately, so you can kind of take out that one anomaly. In 18-19, our actual expenditures were $869,000 in the general fund, and our 1920 were 1.1 million. It is not, our UAL increases every year because of the interest rate and the discount factor being lowered, and then investment earnings that the PERS actually receives. For 2020-21, the UAL I would expect to go down significantly given that we paid off Tier 2 and Tier 3. However, if there's any new ones added, you know, that would add on to it, too. I'm not sure if that helps.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much. And then the other thing, just to make sure I understand, some of it's possibly an accounting issue, but I obviously have a lot of interest in doing the work that's been funded back to 2007 in various 218s. But even if we disregard the other ones, the plan for the 2018 had funds in there to do various work. Nothing has been recorded. I would have assumed, similar to the wharf, that city efforts toward those capital projects, typically in budgets, you when you fill out your timesheet, you charge to capital, O&M, various accounts. And in trying to convince all of us that, yeah, there's really work going on, I would have expected to see some salaries, personnel, funds hitting those accounts, but yet it's zero. So do you not account for capital, for support to capital projects by city staff?
So
it was answered, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No,
the
it wasn't answered.
The public works director is here. Maybe
the answer said, the work's been done, trust us on this. Well, they didn't answer the question of why no charges at all have shown up, when I would have expected, if the answer said we've done work, I would have expected charges to show up against those capital projects.
So there were two RFPs, I think, written for the projects in the 1920 budget. One of them was written by our utility manager that's already funded in our utility funds, so it doesn't, the utility water and sewer funds pay for these capital projects. So charging to this project versus him charging to the regular utility funds, it's the same pot, if you will. So there's no, he didn't charge his time. And then our public works director's time, there is a component of his time that's charged to the cost allocation plan for oversight of these programs. The wharf we treat differently because it's such an extensive amount of time that staff spends on this project. Administrative oversight and those types of things are accounted for in that cost allocation plan. So we don't want to double charge the water and sewer funds for staff time. I'm not sure how much time he spent on that. He could probably speak to that better than I do. The proof that the RFPs went out is they were posted on I believe, our website for response. And we received three or four responses back. And again, Rob can come help, or Joe.
That's okay. If they're there, I think you understand. Part of what I'm doing is probably getting into accounting weeds. I didn't follow and understand it, but since we're going to be meeting later this week, maybe explain the accounting nuance that you just shared with us. I don't need to take up anybody else's time on that.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, John.
Well, just a point of clarification. On this table here, which is on page 58, it's showing $57,393 of salaries and benefits going to the wharf project.
This is for the one water plant on the Nutmeg water tank, which was okay.
Non-wharf.
So if you look at page 181 through 183, not that page.
Okay.
There are the other capital projects.
Okay. Thank you. That clarification.
And there was another question that you had on the salaries and benefits. I think the problem, Jennifer, is that I think a number on your table didn't get updated. So this is on page 45 that you were talking about. And you'll notice that the second quarter figure for both fiscal 17-18 and 18-19, the exact same number, $5,186,818.
Yep. I'll check that for you.
So I'm thinking that the 18-19 number is actually a lot bigger than that, because you did, in fact, include that upfront CalPERS UAL payment. So that number, I think, is needs to be corrected.
I'll check that.
And then you wouldn't see this huge increase from last year to this year.
Yep, I'll check that for the final. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Lois?
Just a question. This is on page 7 of the quarterly budget report. In the analysis on property tax, it's noted that the second quarter receipts are lower than they've trending lower than the last 4 years. And I would expect property taxes to actually go up. So is it, do we know why? Is it slow payment from the county? Is it, do we have an idea of what's causing that drop?
I don't have an idea at this time. Not proposing an adjustment right now, but we'll be following up, and you may see one in the third quarter if we haven't gotten significant increase in our returns.
But I mean, property tax should be,
2% a year plus reassessments.
Rather than going down, it should always be going up. So it seems that it's probably just a slow pay, but I don't have experience to know whether that occurs occasionally.
There are lags. There's lag in property tax. There's lags in sales tax. We do experience those. That's why we haven't made an adjustment, but we'll be working or contacting the county and trying to follow up and confirm that that's what's going on. If for some reason there is going to be a shortfall, you'll see that in the third quarter because we'll monitor.
But I mean, it wouldn't make sense.
I understand that, but we need to have those conversations with the county.
And then with TBID also trending lower, is that because occupancy has been down?
So we keep track of our tours on a month-to-month basis, and it is available on our website, so you can review that. Occupancy was down in a few months. There was one or two hotels going through renovations, so some rooms were closed. We monitor that very closely, and tourism is very cyclical as well. So,
but it's compared the same time for prior years. It indicates just. I know you're well aware of it. It's just because it's such a significant part of the revenue stream is why I ask. Thank you.
Yep. No, those are good questions. Actually, years ago, we had a lot of slow county reassessments during the recession, so that could more than offset the 2% increase. There could be, I guess, some defaults or large commercial parcels that, for whatever reason, could get reassessed. But hopefully it's just on the property tax, especially just a timing issue.
We'll be following up with the county and bringing forward anything if we need to.
Let's see. I think we've covered a lot of what was in our questions, and the answers were very good and very helpful, and that'll be included in the report. So I guess if we look at the recommended budget adjustments, I thought the narrative was real clear on what you were asking for and why, and I guess that's page 23 of the report or page 56 of the agenda. The recommended budget adjustments. Is everybody okay with that? Is there any discussion on that? Again, that's page 23 of the quarterly budget report, i.e. page 56 of the...
So page 56 is the enterprise funds.
Yes. Starts there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I skip the other one? I probably did.
The general fund is on page 48.
Right. Well, we can look at the enterprise funds real quick. Then we'll go back to the budget report, make sure we got Measure Q and everything addressed. So, okay, if you're on page 23, everybody okay with the enterprise funds that they were recommending? Those budget. That was pretty straightforward, yeah. Okay. So then let's go back. What page is the other
page adjustment? 48. 48.
Of the agenda, right?
48 of the agenda or 15 of the stuff.
Okay. There it is, okay. And can you explain the allocation on the IT service fee and that? That showed up in several places with transfer. Just make sure everybody understands that real quickly.
Yeah, the IT service fees were new fees, I believe, last year to help for our LaserFiche and our geo services. They were budgeted in the general fund last year, and it carried forward into 1920, but we actually are allocating them into the IT fund so that we are sure to hold them for those services and not, you know, for example, if there's excess revenues at year end, it sweeps into the general fund emergency reserve fees that are dedicated for specific purposes. We don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. With.
Okay. Everybody okay with those? Pretty nominal for the most part, but thank you for that explanation. That helps clarify things. For the next review, it cleans up some of these anomalies. On the adjustment for the Measure Q expenditures, and that's discussed, I'm probably going the wrong direction.
It's on page 65.
Page 65, okay, thank you. I was also looking at page 18, but that was just a summary from the year from where we are, so that was good.
While you're looking for that, I can maybe summarize them a little bit. There's
here, okay, go ahead.
You got about $43,000, $44,000. That's really a carry forward request from the vehicle purchase that was approved in 18-19 for police. And then there's an additional request for $70,000 to support purchase of new tasers. The current tasers that we have are no longer serviceable.
We're like 10 years old or something?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Then we have fire requests for some safety equipment. That's the wildland PP&E, the small tools, wildland hose, and repairs to two of our Code 3 vehicles that our fire marshal and police chief drive, as well as some training for our fire personnel. And then there was the request for the speed survey that you discussed earlier for $25,000. So in total, it's about $187,000. And that would be from the fund balance that we talked about during the last meeting
mm-hmm.
that we had. There was sufficient fund balance to support allocation of these funds, about $300,000 or $200,000 that was unallocated.
Any comments on that from anybody here? So on the $25,000 for the street signs, was there a consensus here of whether we should go ahead and approve that for Measure Q?
Well, Barbara, you know a lot more about the history of Measure Q. You've been on it for a lot longer than I have, that's for sure. But if the history of it has been that things that are required by either federal or state law has not been funded by Measure Q, then I would say that we should keep with that tradition and recommend that this $25,000 be paid out of the general fund rather than Measure Q.
Yeah, I know that's what one of our absent members would say as well. Generally speaking, yeah, Jennifer did point out some things that maybe you might have to go somewhere else. But other than that, all the rest are reasonable and I think should be funded. Any thoughts?
Just for clarification on the equipment, this is due to the agency support?
Not necessarily due to that. We do mutual aid support where we go, you're referring to fire, correct?
Yes.
Go out of county to provide support for, you know, when the big fire down in Ventura, for example, or up in Paradise.
Right.
And we get reimbursement from the state for that. Oftentimes that reimbursement money, while it's not for equipment, is used to help purchase it since we don't fund it in the general fund.
My question is really to understand whether a local Measure Q money is being requested because of support given to areas outside of Morro Bear, Morro Bay, and that's what I'm just seeking to understand.
I'll let the fire marshal maybe respond. I'm not sure if all of the equipment is only used for those wildland protections or if it has mutual use here as well as out of county.
Oh, good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hi. Yes, most of the equipment that we use out in the county are mutual aid. Could be anywhere from chainsaws to PPE. We can take the Thomas fires, for example. Normally, we don't have to get slickers, right, because of the flooding. That's something we normally don't have to carry, so we'll have to purchase those items as well. So most of this stuff has to get replaced and fixed and repaired. So to add on to that, yes, most of that equipment that we go out of county and use does get, not broken, but does get replaced. And sometimes we can't anticipate what the fire season is going to be. Sometimes it can be extremely busy one year, and sometimes it's not. So depending on the equipment, even the sleeping bags, even the pads that we sleep on tear. It depends on how many times they get used.
So that's a very good answer. And my question then back to you or Jennifer would be, in that reimbursement where you get the labor and personnel cost, mm-hmm. is there any overhead, G&A or material overhead on that basic labor rate that would pay for some of this, quote, wear and tear?
The reimbursements, how they come over, at least from us, what we see is for personnel, there's an admin component, which is really mm-hmm. covering our admin person taking the time to submit.
Like management or something, or just
then,
doing the...
Yeah, and then vehicle. There isn't a separate, that I see, a separate equipment other than the vehicle line item.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
So I guess I kind of base the question that the whole intent of Measure Q was to enhance services within the city.
Yes.
So why should Measure Q pay for things that are going to enhance the service outside the city?
That's why I was asking about the G&A or overhead. That's typically, when a lot of companies bill, they get a contractor, you'll see, we're going to see it on the WRF, ad infinitum overhead on everything to cover that. But
just to add to the discussion on that, though, if you think about mutual aid, we are also could be the recipients of mutual aid. So other cities could bring their fire support personnel in to help us respond to an emergency, and we would want them to be equipped and ready to respond to us.
And the equipment that we use is something that we would use here in the city of Morro Bay. It wouldn't be specialized. Mm-hmm. I mean, we use a chainsaw out in the county, we're going to use a chainsaw here. Mm-hmm. If we use any of that equipment, it will be used here. It's pretty standardized throughout the fire service, and that's recognized throughout the state of California.
Okay, I don't think we have any more
okay.
questions for you right now. Thank you, sir. But that's a good point, and what Jennifer brought up is another good point. And then sometimes, and those of us in the finance world do tend to get down a little bit into the details, but you could say, well, I have something here, a piece of equipment that doesn't wear and tear, but it'll last 5 years. So if it's sitting here not being used, there's no benefit, and if we take it somewhere else, it doesn't impact the depreciation is what I'm getting at. So, but that's a good point. So I guess we just have to decide if this is a reasonable request, and that there may be some other benefits as well as providing mutual aid in terms of keeping people busy and employed and things like that. That we have to some soft intangible benefits. Tina, do you have a thought?
Well, because I'm new, I actually am needing to clarify. So the reimbursement that was referenced and then spoken of, what we're really suggesting here, regardless of fund, is that net-net, it's costing more than what the reimbursement is paying for. Am I understanding that correctly?
I'm going to rephrase it.
Okay.
And see if I'm capturing your question.
Thank you.
The answer will be, it depends, like a legal answer.
Okay. And I don't want to bog down anyone because of being new, so
but
just steer
no,
me aside if I'm wasting time.
No, nope, okay. It's a good question. So
okay.
The reimbursements that we are have confirmed for this fiscal year are $203,000. Those reimbursements are for firefighter time that they've gone out of county to assist on mutual aid. Therefore, our administrative overhead, our admin person that submits and gathers all the materials to send to the state for those reimbursements, and then the vehicle that was taken on the call. That is typically not one of our command vehicles, which is what's being asked for out of Measure Q. That money goes into, or is recommended to go into the general fund to help offset all of those personnel costs. In the past, last year, for example, we put a portion of it into our vehicle replacement fund to help offset future replacement of vehicles for the fire department. The requests that are coming out of Measure Q are for equipment repairs, repairs to the two command vehicles, that the one the fire marshal and one that the chief uses, purchase of hose, materials that are used on those calls but also used in the city, from what I'm understanding the fire marshal to be.
Thank you.
So in summary, I think it's been a good discussion, and in my own personal vote on this would be the 186 less the 25K, but I think this is something we need to look at carefully each time. And the reason I'm supporting the fire and the public safety requests fully is because of what's coming out on these surveys, and that would lean towards that thought. Anybody else? Should that be a motion? I'll go ahead and try that as a motion. We'll see what happens. What is it, 180? I would approve the everything listed on page 65 of the agenda for the Measure Q expenditures, minus the last bullet, the $25,000 for the consulting, which should come from general funds. Second to that?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Questions, clarification? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Bart, did you vote?
Yeah, aye.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that's our input.
Okay, thank you. We'll share that with the council and
yeah.
Look for a different funding source for the survey. Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, and they can accept that or not. That's based on our discussion, so thank you for that. Anything else that we need to look at on item B5? I think we covered all the adjustments. Jennifer, is it pretty easy for you to prepare these executive summaries and everything? Is it? Do you just go through and update it each time? It's very thorough. I think it's very good. I'm hoping it's not a whole lot of. Or do you get help from HDL or anybody? Or
Which executive summaries are you? You mean the,
just like when you the summaries in the budget report, you know, all this narrative.
So we go through and update it each quarter.
Okay.
That's why sometimes you'll see there's still an 18-19 somewhere that I missed.
Okay.
It is a little bit time-consuming, but I think it's an exercise we'd need to go through whether we publish this or not, because we need to mm-hmm. be aware of where we are at from a budget perspective. And the goal is really to make it be a readable document for anybody mm-hmm. to pick up and understand. So.
Okay, good. No, we've received a lot of good comments from the public in the past. I'd like to see a template that still explains everything when you forget what the tax revenues are or description of them, but and something that you can easily update is very nice. All right, and just for those of you that were wondering, the budget performance report has all the detail in the journal entries, and that some of this, if you want to drill down, you can go through that. So hope I didn't see too many questions on that. But it's very helpful for looking at what individual items are and where the detail is. So I think that concludes the discussion on item B5.
So just so I know, when we present this to council next week, we're going to share that with the exception of the speed survey out of Measure Q, you are generally in agreement with the other recommendations in the report.
Right, and okay. All the funds,
yep.
Not just the general. All the funds, not just the general funds. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, moving right along, we are on item B6. This is the second quarter investment report. Thank you, Jennifer, for that.
Yep, you will see that our interest rates are going down and continuing to go down. Our LAIF has gone down from the first quarter report. We're just under 2% now. We do continue to hold the cash that we have. We're not investing it until we definitely until we get the reimbursements for the planning loan, but also until the project for the wharf gets underway and we have a better idea of the cash flow needs in terms of timing of reimbursements. So that is very intentional. We do have, at the time of this report, there was a significant amount of money in the Mechanics Bank. Our goal is to keep that under $2 million. When Valerie, who you've met, she does our reconciliations each month. When she completed the one for December and we saw the cash balance, we transferred money in January. So there is not $2.7 million currently sitting in our sweep account at Mechanics. And our Opus, we've been transferring money into LAIF versus Opus, simply because it's an easier process for us. It's a little less, it takes, you know, half a day and we can do it. But the Opus bank account is earning a little bit more as of right now, so we might have to reevaluate that. I did check with the state on our reimbursements for the planning loan. They had expected at least the second one we'd have by the end of the calendar year. They're running a little bit behind, so we haven't received either one of those yet, but they are both submitted.
Thank you for that. Any questions on what Jennifer just, or comments or thoughts? Go ahead, John.
Jennifer, this table that you present, is this of your creation or did this come from some software company or?
No, I assume that maybe Ms. Slayton had created this. This was in the, you know, records archive that the city had when I started.
Okay, so
it's
you just picked it up.
Excel document.
Okay. Well, the question I have is that there's a column for market value, but you're not making the adjustment for market value, so why have a column for market value?
That's fair enough. I can remove that.
I mean, I don't know what the requirement is. Is there any kind of a state requirement on what this has to show?
There is market value on the CDs.
Yeah, but those aren't necessarily updated.
I don't think there's prescription as to in terms we have to provide investment reports. I don't think it's prescriptive as to what level of detail necessarily. Like it has to have a market value column if that's what you're asking. I'll confirm that. But
if it's not required, I think it might be better just to not have it if the data in that column is not market value.
And that leads to the question that was asked about the LAIF and the difference between the 630 CAFR versus the investment report, and that's because that market valuation isn't done until we're doing the year end.
I should have asked this question under the last item, but do you still get these?
We do get those still.
Can you share those with us from time to time?
I can. Our meeting is next week with our sales tax consultant. That's when we get them, is when they come for their quarterly updates. So I'll be getting one next week and can bring or send that along.
Okay, thank you.
I'll probably scan it and email it to you if that's okay. Otherwise, okay. You're welcome to stop by and pick one up. We put the extras in the front.
We used to see those periodically. They're very interesting because the source of it, you can see what businesses in town are generating revenue and everything. So, yeah, it's very good. So I don't think there's any limit, you know, on the type of license you have as to how you can share it.
Yeah, those are public documents. So we can, like I mentioned, we put the extras that we receive in the front at City Hall for people to pick up. But I will scan it and send it out to you, and you're welcome to stop by and grab one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Yes, on the investment reports, the same comments we're all looking at in the interest rate in the Opus versus the Mechanics Bank, such a difference. But I know your hands are tied until we get a little more clarity or direction on when we're going to get our reimbursements, you know, for the WRF. But then as long as you monitor it closely, you'll be able to make some adjustments, hopefully, to generate a better return.
You know, frankly, interest rates are not Yeah. There's not a significant difference right now between LAIF and some of the investments that we can do, so I don't think it's hurting us per se, and until we have that better idea of the cash flow, it's the safest option.
Not much you can do about that. Okay. So any other comments or questions on the investment report? Receive and file, we've reviewed, and we accept it, is our conclusion. Okay, thank you all. Let's see. All right. Then any other public comment? I'll open it up for that, just in case anybody's burning to give us their opinion on anything. Thank you. Close public comment. That brings us to future agenda item C. Jennifer, what do you have on track? Now, this would be April, so if there's some workshops in March or anything that we need to be aware of, those of us that may want to attend.
So for April, you will have the WRF quarterly report for the period ended March 30th. We will then be focused all on budget for April.
Year.
You'll have Measure Q budget, obviously, and a substantial portion of our, if not the whole, operating budget for the city, because the budget study sessions are in early May. So we will be very close, if not finalized, with the proposed budget.
Okay, so that'd be the WRF quarterly report would make sense for our April meeting. I believe that's scheduled April, was it 21st?
April 21st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Measure Q budget, of course, or requests for next year, mm-hmm. and the operating budget for the next fiscal year proposed.
Correct.
And so are there any workshops or anything scheduled in March? You did say the 10-year forecast. If you get that, you'll send that up.
So the 10-year forecast is scheduled for a special meeting on Tuesday before the council meeting. I believe it starts at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be available. As soon as I finish that and we review it, we'll send it out to the committee at the end of the week. It has to be posted first for council, and then I'll send you either the link or the actual forecast, so you're welcome to review it. And you can ask questions if you'd like. Other than that, the budget study sessions are in May.
Oh, May. You said that earlier. I'm sorry. Didn't hear. Okay. So we'll keep that in mind.
Yes, relative to the WRF, three things came up in the last city council meeting, one of which was what Carollo, I think, called Table 3, and that simply will just be a part of the report, so we'll just review that so there's no issue there. But there are two other issues that came up, one of which was a resolution that passed, and that was answering our question of what's our role relative to this. So there was an answer to that. I guess I was hoping we would have got it officially, but I don't think the minutes have been published yet to make it totally official. But that was pretty straight. Well, okay. It's pretty straightforward what they asked. Actually doing it is still a pretty big effort. And then the third item was one that Marlis suggested, which I think is a really good idea, because a lot of the logic that the council is using is why everyone shouldn't be totally focused on what the ultimate cost of the project's going to be, and that's the fact that the debt service is a fairly major component to the overall rates. And that's not an easy problem to solve as to far as how do you bring that back without going into a huge and very evolved present worth analysis. But I think there are ways to address that. So whether or not the council's going to go further, but I do support looking at the components, which are basically the capital cost of the project, the infrastructure improvements, the debt service, and the O&M costs are what I think are probably the major components. But I don't know if Marlis, how you guys are going to go forward, if you're going to bring that up again, because I do think that's important, because that is the basic logic behind everyone seems to be totally focused on just are we going to hit $125 million, as how do you balance that off against the other aspects. But that is, but it's not easy to address that.
So we're talking about future agenda items, and that might be good for the next meeting when we go over the WRF. Our role will be established by council in the work plan. I did go back over all the detail. It was pretty clear, most of which we're doing now anyways, I think.
What's clear on the heading proposal. What's not clear, Marlis and Heller had something as well. I forget what his was. But they both made some suggestions, both of which I think were tabled. So they're not – so I don't know if they have to officially agree to that or how that gets resolved.
Suggestions on our role, you mean?
No, the role,
oh, okay,
I think,
okay.
was pretty clear.
I thought that was clear. Okay.
In my feeling, because I literally went back over 20, 30 times to get the exact wording. So that was pretty straightforward with some discussion. But the two suggestions by Marlis and Jeff were tabled, as I understand, and there wasn't, it wasn't, we're going to do it, we're not going to do it. And hers was this, I think we ought to have some visibility possibly in the report that looks at these components in addition to just the capital cost.
Understood. Okay, and I think that was summarized, the analysis of impacts on rates in the summary, but when the council gives us our work plan and that, or however we do that, that will be clarified. But so for future agenda items, we have those. I think everybody's okay with that. Anything else? Okay. Anything else? Public comment? Anything?
The only other thought I had was the survey that we'll be sending out, that email. Will it be relevant in April?
I think so, because you said this is spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. If there's anything to add or an update on the join the conversation, if you will, we'll agendize that as well. I don't want to commit to that now without knowing.
Yeah, I just didn't know, because we'll be taking actions also, right? So
yeah, we'll keep that on the radar, and you may see something on that.
Okay. All right, so I think we have our future agenda items, and if there's nothing else, then I'll bring the meeting to adjourn the meeting, and thank you all for your participation and attendance as well. Adjourned 4:35. Thank you all.